This morning, we're continuing our series in 1 Corinthians, the message of the cross and the wisdom of the world. And last week, as was mentioned, Thomas spoke on 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 to 16. If you haven't heard his message, I highly recommend you check it out. You can find it on our church website, along with all the messages in this series. And Thomas's tang illustration, I believe it's gaining traction. The tang crystals inviting the water to make something beautiful, just as God invites us to take part in his saving work by sharing the gospel. And we don't want to water it down. We want to fully rely on God's wisdom. Wisdom revealed by the Spirit of God, a life lived by the Spirit. I feel it's important to remember that 1 Corinthians is a letter, and it's written from a pastor's heart. It's personal, meant something. And like all of Scripture, the original text didn't have the divisions of chapters and verses. Those were added later. So the ideas of this letter flow from one topic to another. And there's also an overall cohesion, a unity of thought, of purpose. And sometimes ideas are emphasized. They're repeated. And in today's passage, we have more teaching to stop this Apollos versus Paul nonsense. I thought we could have been done with this. Remember chapter 1 and Marcello's message? Apparently not. But before we judge the Corinthians, aren't there many times when I participate in nonsense, worldliness, failing to live in the truth and power of the Spirit of God? Praise God for his grace and his mercy. When we read chapter 3, verse 1, can we hear the disappointment that Paul is experiencing? Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I mean, Paul has just finished telling them that they have the mind of Christ, that God's wisdom has been revealed by the Holy Spirit, that God has prepared things for those who love him. Everything is in front of them. Everything is to be gained. The power and truth of God is available, is offered, a life lived by the Spirit. But no, it's not happening. It's worldly living. Verses 2 and 3, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. So there's a contrast, an opposing reality. Living by the Spirit or worldly living. And by worldly, we don't mean God's creation. We don't mean earthly. Psalm 21 to 24, sorry, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's. And everything in it, the world, and all who live in it. Genesis 1:31, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. People are not the problem. Sin is the problem. Actions and attitudes that go against Almighty God, that's the problem. Jealousy, quarreling, ungodly anger, hatred, selfishness, pride, addiction, excess, fear, shame. These are not from God. The people around us, the people we rub shoulders with in our lives, they are part of God's very good creation. You are part of God's very good creation. You are not the problem. You are loved by God. Jesus loves people, all people. Jesus died for people, all people, for you and for me. It's personal. Jesus conquered sin and death. Jesus conquered abuse. Jesus conquered addiction. He conquered fear. He conquered shame. He conquered pride. And Jesus invites us into communion with God. Abundant and eternal life, a life lived by the Spirit of God. This life through Jesus is a gift. We only need to accept it. Will you? And then how will we choose to live? So now I'm going to address the obvious. You were waiting for that, weren't you? This is a fridge. It's a mini fridge, but it's certainly a fridge. It's got a couple of really nice magnets, even has some authentic kids' art. I mean, look at that horsey. I can't draw like that. Thank you so much, Annika, for the art. You might be thinking, why is there a fridge on the platform? What does this have to do with living by the Spirit versus worldly living? Like, what's going on? And oh, if you saw the message with the stairs, I just want to reassure you, I'm not climbing anything today. Both feet planted firmly on the ground. But this fridge is here as an object lesson, an analogy of sorts. And remember, no analogy is perfect, especially when talking about God. And this one might be quite a stretch, but I'm actually finding it helpful. And I hope you will too. So when I was reading and reflecting on the opening verses to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, obviously I was soon thinking of a fridge. Because sometimes my brain just works that way. And Joseph did point out to me that there's a milk and meat reference in the passage. So maybe a bit more credibility to the fridge analogy. Who knows? But I'm comparing what's inside a fridge to how we are choosing to live our lives. Are we living by the Spirit or living by the world? What's in your fridge? So I'm notorious in my family for just letting things die in my fridge. I'll admit it. I do a terrible job of regularly inspecting. I don't even do it. The food items in the fridge and making sure the fridge is clean. It's not happening with me. Is there mold in the yogurt container? I don't know. Because if I think it's been in there too long, I'll just buy another container and eat that one. And that deli meat, you know, those last couple of slices? I mean, you've eaten most of it, but there's like 1.5 slices left, and you look at the best before date, and oh, that was like 3 days ago, or maybe 5 or more. But it looks good. It still looks good. So instead of putting in the food waste, which I guess I should do, I just throw it back in the fridge. Because maybe in a day or two, I'll feel like eating it. Or even better, I'll take it out and overcook, I mean recook it. Because that'll fix everything, right? Okay, so at this point, I'm going to at least take some ownership and say, this is all my problem. It is not my wife Karen's problem. God blessed me with someone who takes the time and effort to regularly make sure the contents of the fridge are in good shape. Otherwise, they're removed from the fridge. But I was thinking, doesn't the same thing happen in our lives? We let things into our lives that shouldn't be there. Moldy, rotten things. They're influencing us to live a worldly life. Maybe it's what we're watching on TV or looking at online. And sometimes it's terrible, it's disgusting, but we become numb to it. Or sometimes it's just not helpful. It's taking too much of our time. What else could be in our fridge that doesn't belong? In Corinth, it was jealousy, quarreling, choosing sides. It was threatening to destroy the whole church. Are we holding on to annoyances, bitterness, maybe at work, maybe in our families? Do we have a problem with anger, ingratitude, with lust, with impure thoughts that go unchecked? Maybe we think we have no problems at all. That's for those other guys. Well, that's probably pride. Or maybe the problem isn't moldy, rotten food. It's just that the fridge is almost empty. What's our prayer life like? Are we reading the Bible? Do we play worship music in our homes? Do we connect with other believers? Are we filling our fridge, our lives, with the good things of God? These are just a few examples. Ask God, allow the Spirit to lead you in cleaning out your fridge, making sure you have good things in there and that you're getting rid of the moldy, rotten food. What's in your fridge? What's in my fridge? And the thing is, you can't just clean out the fridge like once a year, like I would probably think, or even once a month. It's got to be ongoing, consistent, looking for those items that don't belong there anymore and putting in fresh and delicious things. So let's notice when we start to compare ourselves to others. Let's notice if we have impure thoughts. Let's notice when we need to moderate or perhaps completely eliminate something that we are eating or drinking. Let's notice if we're isolating from others, if we're starting to go down the spiral of shame. Let's notice and let's take action. Now we take action not in our own strength, but in the power of the Spirit, in God's strength. God is the one who makes things grow, as we read. God is the one who can clean out and restock the fridge. Amen. Amen. Perhaps the Spirit is prompting you just to get help, to ask another person to help you, to pray for you, to point you in a better direction, to encourage you. Now, the thing about the fridge analogy is that you can get stuck there, right? Like, you don't want to be a fridge Christian if we think that living by the Spirit is just a list of do's and don'ts. Oh, check, check, yep, it's all great. Look at my fridge, it's awesome. Awesome, don't worry about eating, just look at the fridge. That's not going to work, right? We're missing the point. Keeping a clean fridge is more of a starting point. Yes, God wants us to have a clean fridge, to get rid of things like jealousy, unrighteous anger, ungodly excess, pride, selfishness. God desires that we don't live with those things, that we experience victory in Jesus, that we grow fruit, fruit grown through abiding in Jesus, fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What an amazing life. The transformation that is available through the truth and power of the Spirit. It's beyond anything that we could ask or imagine. And yes, the transformation will only be fully complete when Jesus returns. But the power of God is available now. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need. Everything we need. Not some of the things, everything that we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. So let's go over to the fridge. I don't know if you were thinking it would come. I have stuff in here. I do have stuff in here. No mold or anything like that. I didn't do that. Let's see what's inside our fridge. Oh, look at that. Yeah. And a bowl of fruit. There are 9 fruit here. There we go. So we have the message of God, the gospel, the wisdom of God, hope and rescue in Jesus Christ. We have the fruit of the Spirit. So now let's go into the field to share the story of Jesus in the power of the Spirit, to show others what it's really like to live by the Spirit, to speak and to act with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How is the Spirit leading you? Does someone need a meal cooked for them? Maybe some yard work done? Maybe some childcare? Maybe a phone call? Perhaps it starts with a text, a word of encouragement, setting up a time to connect. Maybe it's forgiving someone who has hurt you. Maybe it's asking God for forgiveness. Maybe it's reaching out for help, admitting that you can't do it on your own. Maybe it's letting go of shame and embracing God's grace and mercy. How is the Spirit leading you? We are called to love God and to love others. We are called to share the love and the good news of Jesus with others. What is God calling you to do today and to do each day? Let the Spirit lead you. I ask the music team to come back up. We're going to sing together. Spirit, lead me. And I invite you to sing this from your heart. I invite you to respond however the Spirit is leading. You can respond in your heart. You can come and kneel at the altar. Here's the words to the chorus. If you say it's wrong, then I'll say no. If you say release, I'm letting go. If you're in it with me, I begin. When you say to jump, I'm diving in. If you say be still, then I will wait. If you say to trust, I will obey. I don't want to follow my own way. I'm done chasing feelings. Spirit, lead me.